Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a highly reviewed wine from Argentina in the El Enemigo Chardonnay. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening. How are you tonight, Rob?
I am smashingly good.
Smashing?
Yes.
You're going to be smashed sitting on the couch tonight sleeping since you chose a Macedonian wine for our Guess What the Hell You're Drinking episode.
I did that tonight, yes.
Such a dick.
I know. And Triple B deserved it.
You loved it, though.
Oh, I loved every minute of it. On tonight's show, folks, we have another deep cut. We do this occasionally on the second episode. We reveal a wine that is of different, I don't know what you'd call it. It's not something that we normally would drink. And tonight we're doing Chardonnay in the Montrachet glasses because we're fancy like that. Triple B is not a big Chardonnay person or Cabernet Franc person. Or a Bordeaux person.
Or Vranek.
Or a Vranek person. She's not a person. But
Vranek sounds like a hockey player.
I know. On tonight, we're doing an Argentinian Chardonnay. But it's not just any Argentinian Chardonnay. We're probably getting the most highly, the most highly reviewed Argentinian Chardonnay there exists. By what would it say it was going to be?
Enemigo.
El Enemigo.
The enemy.
Yes, El Enemigo Chardonnay. El Enemigo has a full line. They also have, not a full line. They have Malbec, I think, too.
Isn't that a full line, Rob?
I don't know.
Malbec and Chardonnay?
Well, in Argentina it does. And it comes in at $25 of your dollar. So it's a little bit pricey. But as you'll find out as we go along tonight, is it that pricey or is it the value of the century?
How about some of the scores, man?
I know. We'll talk about that in a second. But nevertheless, are you excited tonight, Scott?
I'm excited. How about you?
I just drank it, even though I'm not supposed to.
Yeah, cheater.
Don't care.
I'm going to read the label because, we've gotten out of that habit, and there's kind of an interesting little line they've got about this.
Please do. That way I can refrigerate it.
At the end of the journey.
End of the journey.
We remember only one battle. The one we fought against ourselves, the original enemy, the one that defined us.
That's right. This is Wilford. I wasn't allowed on the first episode. By agreement. It's bullshit. The Triple B hates me. But still, my enemy, you know what my enemy is, Scott? Can you guess?
I love that song, The Enemy.
Do you know?
Tim Atkins.
No, it's the Sex Offender Registry. Don't ask why. That damn thing pisses me off.
Damn it.
I know. But anyway.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back. Maybe Wilford will be here. Maybe he won't. But I know someone will be here to join you here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Enemigo Chardonnay from Argentina. This wine does have some reviews, and they're quite high reviews, actually. So the Robert Parker Wine Advocate, he provided 93 of his points.
I'm questioning that.
And he wrote, the textbook 18 L. Enemigio Chardonnay had varietal aromas and notes from the barrel, giving it a very attractive profile. But there's a secret. They really wrote that. That's weird. The barrel develops some floor yeast in the style of Juarez, or Hora, whatever, and gives the wine a spicy twist. Hints of curry and white pepper. The wine is silky, and the very high acidity is not noticeable. This is a great commercial success, and at the price it offers, great value.
What do you think of white pepper in a Chardonnay?
I don't mind it. I don't mind white pepper anytime.
Yeah, but in a Chardonnay?
I think it'd be lovely.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. This is James Suckley, and I've had to wait. I wasn't on the first episode, and it pissed me off, because quite frankly, I'm now on this second episode with these assholes, and I mean, they're normally mostly drunk. And
speaking of assholes, James.
Put your pants on, Scott.
How are you doing?
I'm mad. I'm on the second episode. I wasn't on the first.
You've been pretty generous on your points with the enemy.
I am a first episode guest. Anyway, I did provide this wine a few points.
How many?
97 of my points.
But you were kind of scaling it back.
Well, I don't know.
On the 2017, didn't you give it 98 of your points, sir?
Yeah, well, yes, I did. I wasn't the only one.
Well.
Timmy. Yes. This is Tim. I provided the 17 with 95 of my points. Yes, and yeah, I in the 16 I gave it 98, and the 15 I gave 95. So, you know,
James, you really like this Chardonnay, don't you?
I think it's exceptional.
Take your hands out of your pants, James.
Why? I'm just adjusting. Anyway, I wrote, this is another rock star Chardonnay from here. With dried apple, pear skin, crushed stone, and peach pit character. Yes, everything you'd throw away from any of those things. It tastes that way. Full body. Full body? Full body. Yes.
He's stuck
creamy texture. Yes. Phonemic form.
Phenolic form.
That's what I said. And a long, flavorful finish, just like me. 97 of my points.
It's just, he always has some insanity in his reviews. It's a rockstar Chardonnay from here.
Peach pit.
From here.
It's here.
There's no antecedent. It's no, just
it's
here.
It's where it is, yes.
It's like a U2
no,
lyric.
No, it's
from here now.
You have to be an intellectual, which you're not.
To understand where here is before somebody tells you where here is.
Yes, it's another dimension of thought.
Is this a Star Trek episode?
No.
Is this the Twilight Zone?
No. It's art.
Oh, God.
Don't question it.
Drink or hold.
Hold yourself. You cunt.
Hold yourself.
I will see you next Tuesday, Scott. Yes. So in the glass, folks, it looks like Chardonnay. Slight bit of effervescence, little bubbles.
It's a little unnerving. Something that's supposed to be in the 90s, and it definitely has a little effervescence.
The high 90s. Very high 90s.
Don't hold me to it.
Is that effervescence, or is that just a shit ton of crystalline?
Might be a little crystalline. Yeah.
Holy crap.
Just a little crystalline. Yeah.
I've not seen that much.
On the nose, it's fairly.
That's like sea salt on a damn pretzel.
Yeah, on the nose, it's fairly muted.
You know, that's a Chardonnay nose, though.
It is. It's a light bit of peach, and passion fruit.
I'll give you that. In between passion fruit and mango, maybe?
Mango? Is there some chutney in there?
It's not all that expressive, though.
And it's not this incredibly oaked Chardonnay.
No, it's
either.
Not. It doesn't smell oaky at all.
Not on the nose.
Not at all. Here we go.
But, you know, he's talking about the yeast, and I would expect that to be more of a
slight bit of vanilla, though. There is a vanilla.
I think.
Light bit.
Okay. If you stick your nose straight in the middle of it.
Yep.
Not on the rim. Straight in the middle. I'll give you that. I don't mind this nose, though. Maybe it's slightly muted.
But you got the rock star glasses here, too.
You know what I don't... The nose for me tells me this is going to be more sweet fruit, and I don't want that in a Chardonnay. So I hope it doesn't express in the glass the way it did on the nose.
Well, having tasted it, first of all, this is an exceptionally good white wine. We mocked it earlier when you quaffed it, but if you actually pull air across it, you know what I love? The expression of butterscotch across the entire mid palate is just a smear of butterscotch, and it's delicious.
It's a long bastard, too.
It is a long bastard.
The texture of
this. Oh, my God. Then it goes into... Mm.
You know, the texture of this is fantastic.
The finish. Oh, my God. It's almost like a toasted caramel with a butteriness that is so light and lithy but present that it's just lovely. It's wonderful. Damn you, James.
I'm going to challenge you on that butteriness. It's an oil, but that's not butter.
But
you know what that oil is? That's avocado oil, dude.
Okay, you're getting a little, you know.
Okay, but I'm just saying... It's, you know, this is a lighter bodied, but it has like this phenolic, resiny, petroleum texture about
it. It's medium bodied, though.
I love the texture of this wine.
The length on this wine is stunning.
Impressive.
Yeah.
You like this for medium body?
Absolutely. I don't know that Becky would enjoy it because I don't know that she has the patience. You know what I mean?
A woman has the patience of a saint. She lives with you.
But I meant personal patience. But wine patience, she doesn't. She doesn't like Cab Franc.
You're taking it personal.
I do take that personal. From the Loire Valley that we had, that one thing. It was delicious.
The texture. Petroleum, phenolic. Give me your take on the texture of this. I don't like it for buttery. I get that.
Well,
I described as avocado oil on the finish.
It's not overtly... I would say more sesame oil, but it's not overtly oaky, even though there is oak. So it's not necessarily, but it is. It does have the attuned Chardonnay drinker would say it's buttery. It is, but it doesn't have that objectionable oak component that we normally hate or really can't stand. The one thing that's amazing about this wine is that he's right here. He got the lion out of the thing. That it's able to have lovely expressive fruit while at the same time having a massive mid palate that is toasty,
yeah,
but not oak toasty. Well, it's almost like a confectionery.
I mean, it's just not your traditional oak toasty. It's where it comes from. It comes from the oak. Where else is it coming from?
It does. But it's so deftly done.
Yeah, and sorry I interrupted you, but the mid-palate is the star of this wine. Even though it's got such a long finish, the mid-palate.
Oh, the mid-palate is absolutely...
This thing kind of crescendo... It doesn't crescendo. It's just kind of a general hill.
Somebody asked me right now how much this wine cost. I wouldn't know because I never drank really high. Well, no, I have drank really high-end Chardonnay.
Yeah, we don't drink high-end Chardonnay.
But, well, not on a regular basis, but I have.
I would think it's a high-end Chardonnay.
I've had Farniente. I've had, no.
I would think 50 at least.
Go
more.
Up.
More. Rob's up. Sticking his thumb up in the air.
Usually
when it's up.
Scott, this
bum.
Is better than Farniente.
Really?
Yeah. This is better than cake bread. This is better than any of that shit. It's better than any of those. Better. Just better.
So are you saying James Suckling got it right?
No, that's really, really high. But
then I got high. And then I got high.
But I'm not saying Parker got it wrong. But he's not, well, for James, I mean, okay, let's just say, he knew it was really good. He kind of crapped himself when he was giving a score. But it's from South America, so he always scores those high. But I can see, well, I don't know why this isn't a cult wine that is bought out like crazy. I mean, it's Chardonnay, but at the same time, if I was going to have 3 bottles of Chardonnay in my cellar, I'm not going to age it, but it would be this because it's cheap relative to what it is. And it's an excellent example of the varietal.
You want me to piss you off?
What?
You know what the winemaker compares it to?
What?
Fino Sherry.
I didn't say anything like Fino Sherry. They can suck my dick with their, oh, it's got floor or whatever. It's got the sherry yeast. Oh, guys, come on, stop.
But Alejandro Vigil is a master of Chardonnay, as well as a man who likes to push boundaries.
He's not pushing a boundary. He's just making an excellent Chardonnay.
Apparently he's got a good relationship with James Suckling.
Well, we know that. He's probably not.
97, 98. And you saw his picture.
I didn't see anybody's
you
picture.
You liked his
oh,
picture.
Oh, that guy with the nuts in
That's
his hands?
That's him.
Okay. But he's an excellent Chardonnay producer, but this does not taste like sherry at all. Because I don't want to jump off a bridge.
I think those are rocks.
Oh, okay. All right. He's expressing the rocks. Luke does that same thing, too. I wonder if that guy craps on the floor and hides his turds under the bed.
I thought William hid the turds.
Luke actually made a pile of rocks in the driveway tonight and then attacked it with a stick. Does that guy do the same thing? Take that, rocks. Is that what that guy's doing?
Well.
And he's in the field. Luke likes to play in the field, not to yell at him and get out of the damn cornfield. Same guy. But then again, that guy's successful. So if Luke turns out like him, it's all right. Luke will make good Chardonnay. It's like, so he'll always be a disappointment in my eyes. I went, you couldn't have made Cabernet? It's just too much for you?
You're so wrong.
And Becky will hate him because he makes Cab Franc. But, you know.
So
it's just too much. You just got to be, you got to be in wine, which is great. But then you got to like make Chardonnay. It's like, really?
So they make.
I wish you weren't my son. That's kind of like what it would be.
A Cab Franc, dude.
I know Becky won't drink that. How much is it? 25?
Parker gave a 99.
What?
El Enemigo.
How much is it?
Gran Enemigo.
Well, it's Gran. How much is it?
Guatelari single vineyard.
How much is it?
Buck 14.
That's a lot of money.
115. Hey, the 16 got a 99 from Bob. The 14 got a 98 from Jimmy and Bob. The 2013, Bob gave it 100.
I'm guessing that this is a fairly good winery in Argentina that I hadn't heard of until I saw this review. And it's a shame that, I mean.
That we don't know what we're talking about?
No, I mean, it's Argentinian wine.
No, and that is a shame.
We know a little bit more about Chilean than we do Argentinian. We've ignored the Argentinians.
Well,
but haven't had as good experience with them. I've been around a long time. I've never seen this one before. Well, I mean, I've known it in the last year or so, but I don't know. They don't do a lot of advertising. We're just stupid Americans. What do we know?
Stupid Americans.
This is
no. We but
these guys know what they're doing.
Argentinian stuff in general that have scored good hasn't done as well for us. We haven't liked it. We haven't scored it as well.
We like Catena, but we like it to a point. I mean, we like. I mean, you know.
And that was the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
We had a lot of bad Argentinian shit.
Well, cheap Argentinian stuff is bad.
People like Argentinian Malbec. It's a Malbec. I like Argentinian Malbec.
Well, don't bring that to Becky.
But don't say it to Becky because, and she's right. The Argentinian Malbecs we've had on the show and sidebar drinking haven't been that good.
No, for the most part.
And if you like Argentinian Malbec, God bless you.
Yeah, Becky's going to come and put a pencil in your eye.
No, well, I don't think she's that vociferous about it.
Yeah, she is. She already has like blood on her hands tonight. She's very mad about Macedonia.
It's just a cheer blood.
If she can nuke a country right now, it would be Macedonia.
I think it would be the Dern household.
That's true, too.
How's that couch going tonight, buddy?
I don't give a shit. I'm such a good lover. She let me in.
Oh, my God.
Some off chance she get lucky.
Oh, Jesus. Criminy. Tim Adkins' lover.
Maybe I am. She secretly, she's like,
he's a Tim Adkins lover. He wears his heart like, can't believe it.
Do the Wilford
Tim
voice.
Tim Adkins' lover. Wow, this is Wilford. I'm going to love you down. Smack it up and rub you down with some hot oil. And just watch your body shine. That's Belle DeVoe. Yes. Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind. Situation is serious. Let's kill it, because we're running out of time.
Belle Biv DeVoe lyrics read by Wilford Wong.
The situation cannot speak.
Girl, take a look at me. Tell me, do you like what you see? Do you think you can? Do you think you can do me? Kiss me, pretty baby. Touch me all over. Girl, what makes you think you can do me? Do you think you can do me? Yeah. Do me, baby.
Oh.
Do me, baby. Nice job, James. He's my backup singer. Girl, let your hair down. Take off your clothes and leave on your shoes. Would you mind if I look at you for a moment before I make sweet love? Backstage, underage, adolescent, doing fine. She replied, I sigh. I like to do the wild thing. Action.
Why do I know all these lyrics? This is terrible.
Action took place. Hey, kind of like, come on, don't forget.
You know, it'd be even better.
Belle, what are you doing?
If what? Wilford Wong did Obsession by In Emotion.
I don't know that one.
You're an obsession.
Oh, that.
You're my obsession.
I cannot sleep on your possession.
No.
And opened at your feet, there's no balance. No equality.
That's right. Next, I'm going to say, recite the lyrics of Honey Love by R. Kelly. There ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. No!
Tim Adkins used to call me on my cell phone.
I'm not singing. It's spoken word. Don't be a dumbass.
Oh... Chardonnay does this. This is why we don't drink Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Makes us sassy.
Chardonnay. Yeah.
Although this has the mouthfeel, and I mean, it's just a dazzling little wine, isn't it?
And I think we might have it a little too chilled. I think I like it better as it opens up.
It's
and the
good
acidity,
at this temperature right here.
Yeah, as the acidity comes out a little more, it sings. The acidity's singing.
It's like, I don't like Chardonnay. Are you sure? Because put down the Lindeman's Ben 65 and try something good. At $25.
But
are you sure?
And
because you might.
This is two guys who say we don't really drink Chardonnay.
No, we don't. Because we're, you know.
We just don't. It.
No.
But this?
Yeah.
What was this, 25?
It's 25.
Folks. If 25 is a stretch for you on wine, buy this. And don't buy just a bottle. Get a couple bottles of this because you will not be disappointed. This is that wine that if you get one, you're going to wish you had a second bottle. Mm. Right?
And you're not going to find this at your local, you know, grocery store.
I would say, like my cousin in Chicago, he's finding this.
Oh, they might. Yeah. Big markets, yeah. If you're in, you know,
maybe specialty wine shops have this. I don't know. I haven't seen this before.
But I know. No.
But, you know, the truth is we're not looking in the Chardonnay aisle.
I do.
You do not. Lies.
I do. Oh, we see Rayburn now.
Well, only when you're going there and you're hiding to...
What?
You can't wait
till you go
Scott,
to the bathroom.
It's all the same fucking aisle.
Chardonnay? I don't know. The Chardonnay is a special aisle.
Not in Kroger. People like you. It's not that special. You know.
You're not finding this in Kroger.
No, I'm saying we find Rayburn, though. There was a time when we never thought we'd see Rayburn. Although, this would never sell. Because it's good.
I don't know why it wouldn't sell at 25.
If you're in a wine shop and you could get this, bring it in, hand sell it, people will just, they'll come back.
I think people would buy this at 30. You know, if you, wine.com price is 25, right? But you sold this at 30.
You should buy it at 50.
I think it's a $50 wine.
It's better than Duckhorn. And I love Duckhorn. It's better than the Stag's Leap. I love the Stag's Leap. Way better than Stag's Leap Winery because that was terrible.
But. Easy.
Yeah.
Dial it back a little. Better than Rayburn.
This is a better Chardonnay.
No, better than Duckhorn.
Yeah. It's better. It's a better wine. There's more. Those are great wines. Great Chardonnays. Great wines, period.
You know, but if you were going to do a little Chardonnay tasting, the Duckhorn Napa and this, that wouldn't be a bad place to start. Throw some Rayburn down the side.
Be a good night.
Two bottles each, some fresh fish.
I wouldn't want anything with this.
Oh, come on, you got to eat.
Well, yeah, but I'd eat some. I'd drink a red bottle of wine for that.
Easy, no. We're doing a Chardonnay party. You're having
Chardonnay party.
You're having some type of grilled
this
fish.
This is like beach volleyball and Top Gun.
You're having some type of grilled fish, well, and you're also doing scallop appetizers.
Oh, appetizers, yes.
No, and grilled fish.
Grilled fish.
Mm-hmm. Like a white fish. Like
catfish.
They got big enough fillets.
I've never really done catfish that much.
I don't think it would grill well.
Carp. No, I carp. Don't think it would. Yeah.
You said carp.
Yeah. A dirty old carp. Psycho. Now, here's a question. But, well, when you say cat, if you did it on cedar plank, could you just see cedar plank on catfish? Is it that delicate?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be delicate and fall apart.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I enjoy doing salmon on cedar plank. I love a cedar plank.
I don't think you
salmon.
Would do salmon with no. Chardonnay.
No, stop. You could. It is possible, but you don't want something that's overly oaky. Normally, I would switch to Pinot. That's just me.
Like some, if you had humongous fillets of cod and you chunked them and lightly breaded them.
Sea bass.
I was going to go sea bass.
Sea bass and this wine are made to, yeah. And scallops, Becky and I, well, they were shitty scallops, terrible scallops. But I did scallops a few weeks back. And we're talking like little pencil erasers once you get them. But we did love block.
Nice.
Well, it's love block, you know.
Nope.
We have
be a nice dish for this. Tuna steaks. With a side, almost a beurre blanc sauce.
Oh.
With like dill.
Snapper. Love snapper.
Okay.
I love snapper.
What kind of fish would you grill?
I've grilled snapper.
I think it would be great.
I
think it would hold up.
I cedar plank it, though.
You'd need a big piece, though.
True. But I cedar plank the snapper, too. The fish I grill... The salmon and snapper. Oh, the snapper's pretty expensive. But when we get on to Myrtle, we'll be right next to the IGA down there. And we switched back to the Tillman. So, that's right next to that place where you can get all the fresh fish and the prime steaks and all that crap. Right down. It's like right there.
You have to do Angelo's. I mentioned this in a previous episode.
Yes.
The boys can do the Italian buffet. You guys can have steaks or whatever the specials are.
The
boys will do fine there.
We'll do that. I will make a point. Maggie will probably be fine. Hopefully, I think Mary Scott will be there too. Mary, don't call me Scott, is her name.
No, that's not what she went by.
That's what she went by on the show. Mary, don't call me Scott.
Well,
because her name is Mary Scott. Well, that was the second.
She never even met me, and she was offended by me.
Well, I know. Well, that's Scott. It can't act like that's some sort of unusual experience. Well,
usually, people have to be introduced to me at least to be offended by me.
She was in the presence of you. You were in the same room that she was, folks.
No, I had been in the same room she had been in.
It actually
time.
It actually is the second episode we ever did or we ever aired. By the way, please don't listen to them because those are absolutely terrible episodes. It's like you have a couple of guys that are borderline retarded. Sorry, that's a bad word. Borderline, what's the word?
You are an obsession.
Yeah, we were terrible. But nevertheless, it's the second episode we ever did. What was the first episode we did?
Who do you want me to be?
What was the first episode we released? You remember?
Wasn't it the Primitivo?
It wasn't a Primitivo.
It was the Italian. We did the Italian stuff on the Christmas party. Didn't you release one of those?
I don't think that... Oh, we never did anything. I never did anything at the Christmas party.
It was a zen, I think.
We had a Christmas party because we started the show in like, I think it got released in what, February of 17?
Sounds right.
Yes. Yeah. Like February of 17 was when we went live.
But we recorded some stuff in 2016.
Yes, we did. And we had a bunch of people over. In 16.
Christmas 16.
Yeah, and we were all down here, and we did a lot of recordings. Those were, though, but in reality, Scott, we were kind of practicing, figuring out what we were going to be.
Yeah, we're still practicing.
No, I'm big time now. But we didn't even know how to make a freaking mic work.
We just were having a good time.
Rephrase that. I didn't know how to do that. You had nothing to do with it.
I had nothing to do with it.
No, you didn't. But still, and we did
mic checks.
We did, but I don't know, those things I never did anything of those. But
that's terrible. We don't know what our first episode was.
It wasn't Mayomi. It was down the road. What the hell was it? What was our first episode?
I think it was a Zen.
It might have been. We did a Zenapalooza earlier on. When we did several terrible Zens, even though we thought they were good at the time.
That might have been the first episode. We did a couple Zenapaloozas.
It wasn't the first. But, folks, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to look at our website. It'll take me forever to figure it out. And then we will tell you what our first episode was. As soon as we come back here on The Wine Vault. Back, folks. So, off the air, we did some research.
The answer would be
Dealey Lane.
Yeah, who would have thunk that?
That's not even the market anymore. That originally was, and it's disappeared.
Is it gone? Well, but Zenapalooza was really close because it was episodes 2, 3, and 4. Sledgehammer was episode 2, technically, which we loved Sledgehammer for a couple years, actually, for that $9.99 price.
Love is a strong term, but
not exactly.
Would we love it that today?
No. Sledgehammer's not the same one.
No, it's really disgusting now. But if we went back in time, if we went in the time machine today, went back and drank that, would we like it? No.
I think so. I think it was better then.
It might have been better then, but we still wouldn't like it.
Remember, that's when Zins were in kind of a period where you just couldn't go wrong. They were just everything.
Well, they weren't good. I mean, it was just palatable and it was boring. I mean, those are boring wines, but Federalist was boring.
Federalist was terrible.
What are you doing, Bo?
We're having some dog issues.
Stop.
There's a daddy long legs on the floor.
Oh, my Lord. That dog does not bark, by the way, folks.
Idiot. Yes, he's a beast. And he already killed it.
Accidentally. But yeah, Dealey Lane.
What an idiot.
It was our first published episode. I can't believe we didn't remember.
And Mary Don't Call Me Scott is on the fifth episode.
The first real wine we did. Turley Judge Bell.
It was. Well, you didn't do it, but yes, you did it.
Well, we, that's in a true sense.
I know. I remember doing that. That was many years ago. It's folks, strange how long we've been doing this, really. So,
well, it's strange for us that we've got enough brain cells to keep doing it.
I don't know that we do, but that would be debatable. People would probably argue we don't.
Wine is something you have to try.
Oh, it is.
I can't. For the price point and what we're going to score this, and this is going to score well, folks.
When we get to that, yes.
I can't recall something in the 20s that was this good. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
What? And particularly a white wine. I mean, this doesn't have... I love Turley's white wines as well as their reds, as well as their petites. I love Turley, but they have a white coat, and it's this. You can't compare this to that. It's a different thing. This is Chardonnay. Would you say fairly classic?
I think
production
so.
Production of Chardonnay. Do you think California Chardonnay drinkers would be ecstatic over this?
They would love it. They would love it.
And so we say that without really knowing anybody that drinks Chardonnay.
No, I'm not that cool.
One of the girls in my family drinks Chardonnay, but like boxed wine Chardonnays. No, actually not boxed wine Chardonnays, but...
Oh, no. Don't disparage her like that.
Easy. But I think anybody that drinks white wine would love this.
Scott, I have a question.
Maybe it's too much for some casual wine drinkers.
It would be too much. Let me ask you a question. This is the potpourri, actually.
Okay.
Price is no object right now.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Name me three wines you would love to buy.
I was in that period where I was buying those Shutting Up the Pops. And I bought up the chain on that La Solitude line where they have like three or four in the Chateau Neuf de Pops.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy the next years of those. So I think those were 16s when I bought them. I think I'd buy the 17s.
That's not that expensive.
Nah, they're in the upwards to 100. The one bottle's 100.
What's that?
Okay, I'm going to buy Rothschild.
That's just stupid. Mine would be one. So yours is Solitude for...
No, I'm just being realistic what I would buy.
Old Brion.
Okay,
I will buy Old Brion sometime.
Yeah, and that's something I could see myself putting in the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few of them and haven't even drank it yet, but, that Astralis.
You like that.
But so the thing is,
saying Lagrange.
I'm liking that based on drinking a bottle of Clarendon Hills. And actually, I've had a couple since then.
Oh, Astralis is Shiraz.
But it's Clarendon Hills.
Well, yeah.
Is the producer.
But you should be buying St. Honoré.
Okay. No, which, for sure. We've talked about
which
that.
Which I live that dream. But so, St. Honoré is great. I think, honestly, it's the value in the Penfolds line, period. I mean, it's 104 right now, I think, on wine.com, 106. But look what the rest of their shit they're charging for it. It's crazy. When you can buy St. Honoré, and we've had old St. Honoré, and it is glorious. By the way, last night I had a 2008... Chateau Saint-Jean, Cinq Cépages.
Really?
Yes. With a massive-ass 4-pound tomahawk
ribeye. Oh, my God. He sent me a picture of that, and I'm like, tell me you saved that bone for the stock.
No, Bo got it.
A fucking dog got it.
But it's fucking dog. You love him.
I love him, but, you can make stock out of the bone and then give him the bone after we make stock out of it.
Yes, well.
Wait.
It's Bo.
So he sends me a picture of this incredible looking steak on the grill, and was it 10 inches of bone off the meat?
Yes.
And the marrow was
bubbling out of the bone.
Your boys at Pataskla Meats don't mess around.
The marrow was bubbling out of the bone.
Yes.
It really was.
It was.
And you gave that to the dog.
I did. By the way, the Duroc pork chops I made tonight, each bone, gave to Bo. He loves them. He loves that, yeah.
Again, you make stock, and then you give him the bone. He'll be just as happy.
I know. I did.
He's a labradoodle.
Well, he is.
And I mean,
he's killing a daddy long leg as we speak. He's being brutal. But it keeps him occupied. But, no, the Chateau Saint-Jean, the Saint-Sapage. I love Saint-Sapage. I've been to the Chateau Saint-Jean. Have you been there? You have not.
I have not.
And when I was there, I drank Saint-Sapage. But I drank it in 2010. But I've had a 95, a 96, a 97, a 99. So you've had 99 Saint-Sapage, and this was an 08.
So let's say I'm going to spend $1,000 on wine.
$1,000 for a bottle of wine?
On wine.
Oh, on wine. Okay.
Some Chateauneufs. But you know what? I'm going to buy that. I haven't really yet. I think I've got one bottle of vintage port. Some vintage port.
Sure. It'll outlive you, but okay. No, I agree. I mean, no, vintage port actually is a good value. If you're someone that has this desire to age wine for a long period of time, $800, okay, that thing's going to sit there for 40 years.
And it's going to be worth it when you're fucking done.
It will be. So that
it's hard vintage to fuck port, up a bottle of vintage port.
It is. They're a tough bottle of wine. In reality, though, if you think about it, there aren't $300 bottles of vintage port. And they still score up there. So the value is there in port. Bordeaux, is the value there? I think the value there is more in Bordeaux than it is in Cali.
For sure.
I mean, I honestly am not excited about these $300 Cali wines. I'm not.
I don't have something in mind, but I'd buy some type of Burgundy out of that $1,000 just to have something.
That's a good question.
Burgundy. What would it be? I'd have to look at that. We'd look at that before I bought it.
It'd be difficult, Scott, because
it's so expensive.
For me, I have to be interested in the winery before I buy it. Because, yeah, I think you or I would be just pissing in the wind when we're buying
Burgundy.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I'll buy Jadot. That's not what you would buy if you're spending a lot on Burgundy. I mean, I know Jadot, but that's not what you spend on.
But I'm sure we could sort something out in the $150, $200 range, and it'd be just fine.
It'd be fine, but it wouldn't be exceptional.
Well, again, we've got $1,000 to spend. What are we going to spend it on?
Well, Poney Cane. I mean, Smith Lafitte. Those are two things that tug at my heartstrings.
What would you buy a case of?
Give me the math. How much is that?
No. What I'm saying is you're going to spend $1,000 on stuff, but there's going to be one thing that you're going to buy a case of. Chateau Le Prat?
Well done, sir.
Suzanne Babot?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. The Chateau Le Prat. That's what I bought a case of. Because I bought more of that since the episode.
Maybe.
No, Chateau Le Prat.
The Creole Suzanne Babot Reserva? Dude, that was
No, it's a good wine. I enjoy it.
Really good.
But it ain't the Le Prat. It ain't
we believe the Le Prat's got some life on it.
It's very ageable.
Would it be considered a sellable selection? Maybe not.
It's going to have more
six,
legs
seven, eight,
than...
We think
than,
6, 7, 8, 10 years.
We loved Old De Leon. Le Prat is way more ageable than Old De Leon.
Not sure.
I am.
Side by side, it'd be interesting to...
That's better. The Le Prat is much better than the Old De Leon. And we loved Old De Leon, but Scott, you and I have had multiple French wines that are better than Old De Leon since we drank Old De Leon.
But the thing is, we didn't have the willpower to let that Old De Leon go as long as we should have.
No, but it was fine, though. I don't think it had that kind of legs.
I just had my last bottle of it, and it had plenty of life on it.
It's very, very good. But it got 90s. the La Prade a 92 and a 93 and it deserved every point of it because it's that exceptional. So, but yes, a case of a La Prade would make sense. But I mean, also, there's plenty of other wines that I haven't bought that I want. It's a lot. They're all Bordeaux, though. A Cali wine, though, Scott. Pick a Cali wine, an expensive Cali wine. Then I will.
I'm not going to go expensive, expensive. I would do some of the Oddball Heights stuff. We love that style. I've not done as much Heights as you have. Everything they do, I love. But I'll buy some of their oddball things, maybe.
Martha's Vineyard, Trailside. I've had Trailside.
I'd have to throw a bottle of Trailside. I don't have a Trailside in my cellar right now.
I do. But
I would have to put a Trailside.
Trailside is delicious. Martha's Vineyard is very good.
Who else? I mean, we're hacks for Charlie. Ridge, that doesn't count.
Montebello.
Yeah, well,
and I just saw Ridge Montebello Historic Vines.
What was the thing
Ridge
brought
Montebello
over for your birthday that you and I bet so
the
much.
Hidden Ridge.
Yeah,
it's
that,
hidden. I haven't seen it since then, but
I yeah think she has that at Twisted Vine.
Does she?
Pretty regularly. And there's the different lots of it.
Well, you could buy it.
That shit was
cool. Well, why don't you buy it?
Do you know the last time I've been in there? I couldn't tell you the last time I've been in
there. I mean, expensive, but you should buy it. You know, ZD. That one ZD we had. I am so mad. It was 1999. I should have bought 10 bottles of that. I was a poor man then. I'm very upset with myself.
Numanthia?
I don't know. I love Numanthia, but I haven't bought it in a long time. You know why? I'm just not into that Spanish wine anymore.
Easy.
But no, there's nothing wrong with Spanish wine. It's just, there's this thing called France. And I love French wine. I just do. I'm always going to be that way. I was, Becky said I have an allowance for Myrtle Beach to give lost bottles of wine a home. And
I did find that the Frank family was the Carneros Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
But it's $21, man.
$21 is cheap.
I know. It was
Where'd you get it at?
It was the ABC on 17 Business, like at
text me. I'll try.
Ninth North.
I'll roll in there.
But
get
it was
a
this weird ABC liquor store that maybe had 400 bottles in the whole store.
I've never been a
and
lover
a bunch of, shit.
Of Caneros, Pinos, because we've had
it was,
several.
It was different. But, it was definitely heavier on the palate. Yeah. It was fantastic, though. It was a fantastic bottle of wine.
No, $21. Frank, what is it?
Frank Family?
Yeah. They're expensive.
It was, I think, normally retails 25 to 30. 30 on that night. It was like I said, $21, $22.
I've never been a big fan of the Canaro style of Pinot. I'm more, give me Sonoma any given day. Russian River is more my thing. Sonoma Coast. Anderson Valley. I love Anderson Valley.
Apatagua.
That's
Colchagua.
Chilean.
I know. I'm just saying.
By the way,
what would we
guess what like? I have? Three bottles of
yeah,
in my.
Shut
I
the
have
fuck up.
Apatagua. Yeah, you don't. So Linus. Suck my dick. Not literally, because you might say yes, but still.
Well,
yeah.
No.
I know. Is that gin and juice on the...
Yeah, that's gin and juice, baby.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break, because then we need to come back and give a review.
What else you got out of that $1,000? Throw something else out there we haven't talked about. I can't believe you turned down Numanthia.
No, it's not. I'm not against
I'm just
Numanthia.
Saying.
Give me a country.
Australia.
Dick. Well, I said Saint-Henri, but beyond Saint-Henri?
I tell you.
You know what? Elderton's Command Barossa Shiraz.
Yes, you've talked about that before.
I've never introduced you to Elderton's.
We've talked about that. Yeah. We've looked at Australians and
broken
them down.
I mean, there's a lot of different. Torbeck, Runrig. Although it's so ugly. The Shirazes tend to be a little too ugly for me. It was maybe with age, but.
I'd have to, you know, I'm looking at what we've had that were so goddamn good of the French. The Chateauneuf. I
You like Chateauneuf, yeah.
Well, the Pigalle.
Pigalle's good.
Panay Canet. But Pigalle, man. Pigalle. But the Chateauneuf, you just can't.
But the Donjon.
How can you go wrong?
Donjon? There's another one called Vieux Telegraph, Scott.
I don't know that one. No, we've talked about it. I haven't had that one, is what I should say.
Maybe you will on your birthday next year.
God bless you, son.
A 2003. I think that actually would be a good birthday episode for you next year.
How dare you?
You have to wait, though. 8 months, man. Assuming you make it that long.
Jesus.
Just think about that. You have to wait until...
Well, I was going to share that bottle with Scott, but then got hit by a fucking car.
And now I have to drink it by myself in memoriam.
Well,
yes,
that'd be a good memoriam.
I know. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Enemigo Chardonnay from Argentina.
The enemy.
97 from James and a 93 from Parker.
Off air, we were talking about textures and glycerin versus phenolic. You know, it's that this has that petroleum based mouthfeel. I don't think it's quite dairy or buttery. Maybe more experienced Chardonnay drinkers would say, nah, this is buttery. I don't think it is, but it's not quite glycerin, and this is where that phenolic thing comes in. And it's also, but it's that definite petroleum mouthfeel. I love the mouthfeel of this wine.
What kind of review do you give it?
High.
Mm-hmm.
I like this for a... 92, 93. Let me talk my way through this. The length. I'm going 93. This is worthy. The oaking is so, I'm going to use the word artistic, in that the wine guy and I, neither of us care for these overly oaked Chardonnays. And when we mock those things.
Yeah.
And this is really subtly oaked in just a nice way. It just stays out of the way of the wine. I love the style that this winemaker has produced this wine in, that has allowed all the things to shine. I don't know that we talked enough about the fruit profile. As this opened up, there's a little more green apple.
There is. We just were too much. We were too busy creaming our pants to actually break down this wine.
Off the front, as it is more chilled and less open to room temperature, there was a butterscotch profile that was just really exciting. You buy this wine, and don't buy just one bottle. Buy two.
Oh, yeah.
Butterscotch, I like as it's open, the green apple. Pseudo-citrus, I'm going to call it. The oaking comes into the mid palate through the finish. It's a long, lengthy finish that it's surprisingly long, in my opinion.
I
don't know that I've had a Chardonnay that finishes this long. But the star of the show for me, is just the way it changes gears. It goes from the front palate to the mid to the finish. The oaking stays out of the way of the wine, and it's just exceptional.
It is exceptional, and I'm also going to provide it 93 of my points. It's such a surprise. And quite frankly, the fact that the wine can just manifest itself throughout the entirety of the palate is what's amazing. It doesn't matter if you quaff it or if you really, really draw air in. It shows something. And it's an incredible wine. The bottle's gone. It's not decanted. It's gone. We never do this with whites, and we down this like a freaking, we drop this wine like it was hot.
I just love the texture of this wine. It's so, I think one of the reviewers used the word silky.
Yeah.
It's beyond silky. It's silky implies a texture that is. To describe this as silky, it's too harsh a description.
It is.
For how this mouthfeel exhibits.
Yeah.
It's softer than silky. It's...
And everything is just an experience. It isn't a flavor. I mean, it has nice fruit. I mean, peach and passion fruit. But the overall experience of the mid palate to the finish is really where it is. You don't even worry about what it tastes like.
Yeah.
You just enjoy the ride. And that's a good wine. A good wine, you're not caught up on what are the flavors that I'm tasting. Fuck that. It doesn't matter. This is the ride that you're enjoying. The length that you're enjoying. I'm enjoying as I'm speaking to you. I'm talking right now on the mic. I can taste it. Evolving through the mid palate to the finish. That is a great wine. That is a wine that deserves a 93. That is a wine that deserves a James Suckling 97, which is a 93. That is a wine that enjoys everything. It gets in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
It gets up on the wall of distinction.
I don't see why not.
I'm going to figure out how to fit it up there, but it deserves it because it's that good.
But double back to where you're talking about.
Scott, it best Chardonnay we've ever drank.
Yeah. I was waffling on the merits of this versus the Duckhorn. It's been a long time since we had the Duckhorn.
True.
But I think you nailed it for me in your description of saying that forget what it tastes like.
Yeah.
The texture and how you go from the mid palate to the finish. Forget what it tastes like. The texture and the softness in your mouth and the mouthfeel. Freaking fantastic.
It's the overall experience of the wine that makes it great. It's not one flavor, it's the complete mosaic. And I think I've said that before. It's the mosaic, it's the complete picture of the wine. You look at it and you see everything that's there. That's what makes this wine great. Bravo.
A inch thick presentation of 8 pan-fried scallops. Garlic and butter only.
Yes.
This.
Lovely.
Heaven.
Or hold the scallops and drink this.
Turn this up for a second.
Yes, I know. It's a little color me bad. My amor or my
amore.
Yes.
Mi amore.
Mi adore. It's the rap section. You don't want to listen to that.
No, we do. But it's okay.
This is the thing. Scott and I are wine people. We love wine. We exclusively drink wine. It's what we do. And if a Chardonnay catches our eye, that should be a tip to you. Because I've been thinking, do I want to buy more of this? Why would I buy more Chardonnay? It's really good. This is one of those things that it doesn't matter what color it is. It's great.
Look, this is a really chauvinistic thing to say, but I'm going to say it. This wine is cheat on Kim Basinger wine.
That's cheat how good on this Kim Basinger.
Yeah, you're with Kim Basinger. She's your girl. This wine's so good.
She's twice my age. You
cheat on Kim Basinger.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Who cheated on Kim Basinger?
You would if you had this option.
I would because she's like 78 years old. She's my mother's age. Why would I be with Kim Basinger?
You saw the movie.
What movie?
Well, she's a school teacher.
School teacher?
Mm-hmm.
When was she a school teacher?
In that movie, she's a school
last
teacher
movie
in Brooklyn.
I remember that she was in that was relevant was L.A. Noir, and that was in 1997.
Oh, good God, and you're dating yourself?
And that was a great movie, mind you. I mean, L.A. Noir.
Is a movie.
But she's, like, old. As Antonio Banderas on Saturday Night Live says, she's old and not here. So
wait, you said what? Who's he saying that about?
Melanie Griffith. So,
oh!
Yeah. Yes.
Oh!
She is, how do I say? Yes. Old and not here. That's Chris Kattan doing the Antonio Banderas. So, folks, it's, how do you say? Yes. Show. Google that. You will enjoy it. So, folks, 293's a Hall of Fame of distinction from the El Enemigo from Argentina. Bravo. So for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu.
Adieu.
But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.